A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery. Grow your contact list and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who is the undefeated world podcasting champion. I'm Rob Cesternino. How's everybody doing here on a Big Brother Canada Friday? And we are ready to talk about another week in the Big Brother Canada house. I am back after a week in New York, and boy, so happy to be back here talking about Big Brother Canada after a too long away from my house and too long flying around in an airplane with kids. It's much worse than being a have-not, is being on the airplane with your kids. And now here to join me is my Big Brother family, our live feed correspondents from left to right here in the Google Hangout. Why don't we bring in Mr. Alex Kidwell. Alex, how are you?
Doing good, Rob. You know, much like the guest this week, UFC fighter Elias, what's his name? I, too, like to go to where, you know, gyms and where people are working out and name drop friends of mine that are better at working out than I am and tell them about, you know, their routines and how good they are at what they do.
No, I totally blew it. I was trying to do a UFC thing and I said world podcasting champion, and that is not right. That is a W is not the same as you. What does the U stand for?
Well, you've got wrestling on the brain. UFC, United Fighting, Unified.
Unified Fighting Championship.
I'd be disappointed if it wasn't Ultimate.
Ultimate Fighting.
Yeah, Taryn's got ultimate it. Fighting. Of course, it's Ultimate. Oh,
yeah. What, Taryn, are you a big UFC guy?
No, it was just a guess.
Good. It's a good guess.
I just wanted it to be Ultimate.
So of good course. Guess.
Right. Okay. All right. Here is our Ultimate live feed correspondent, Brent Walgamott. Brent, how are you?
Good, Rob. You can be many things in life. You can be a pawn, but you don't want to be a cocky pawn.
Don't be a cocky pawn. Now, why have you brought out the Big Brother Canada James hat this week?
Rob, I'm like Tim. I get bored. Really. That's all it is. I just get bored. I want to put on the hat sometimes. And, I can't help myself.
Okay, good. And, of course, the man who knows everything about the UFC, the great Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm good. I did have something to ask you, though, Rob. Will you play in the HOH for me?
Okay, sure. No problem. I will do it.
All right.
I will do it. Easy? Anybody else? Anybody else have any requests?
Hey. You already agreed to me. Nobody else gets you.
I'll save my complaints for that cabinet.
Yeah, save it for the cabinet. All right. So I thought this was a pretty weird week all the way around. Kind of like a Fugazi week to me in the Big Brother house in terms of that we had... that we had a Canada's Choice vote that came down to two people, and then like, well, why don't we have just like a random roulette wheel spin for who's going to be the HOH? I'm not even sure why, if you're going to let people vote, why then randomize it with that? So we had the brothers end up being the HOH for the week. Then we had where Maddie and Ramsey were up on the block, but then Ramsey very unfortunately has to leave the house. And then Tim is like, sure, just put me up on the block to go home. And Maddie and Ramsey ultimately go out both here in the same week. First off, our best wishes to Ramsey and his family. Believe me, I am especially sympathetic to what Ramsey must be going through. I got a phone call back in 2011 that my dad had a heart attack and he did not make it through that. So it can certainly... makes the most sense in the world for me. I don't even know why he waited so long to leave the Big Brother house to go and be with his family during that time. But certainly he makes the right decision in my mind to go and leave. And good to hear that things are going better. And it sounds like his dad is out of the woods with all that stuff. But sort of a weird week, which sets up now really the home stretch, I think, of Big Brother Canada. Do we have a date for the finale? Does anybody know?
I
think the Survivor finale is May 18th. I don't know how much longer Big Brother Canada is going to go. I feel like it's sort of like that same week or so has got to be around finale, right?
Yeah, so it's the 12th of May.
The 12th of May. So it's like, wow. So we're really, 20 days away here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they said on the show that it's going to be a double eviction next week. So after next week's episode, we'll be down to 5 house guests. So.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. So we're within 3 weeks of the finale?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
There we are.
All right. Wow. We're really cooking with gas here. So a really weird week, just like I was going to say, it feels like the midpoint of the season, but there's a lot of people that we have to get through to do this. You know, my big thing, and I'm not sure how much you guys explored this on Wednesday night with Jordan Brent, with where Ramsey won the veto this week. And so then we didn't have a veto ceremony. Ramsey left the game. And then they just said, oh, Ramsey used the veto on himself, took himself off the block, and then left the house. We didn't see that. Then we had to name a replacement nomination. And I just kept thinking, if Ramsey was going to leave the game, why not give his showmance, Maddie, the power of veto so she, too, could take herself off the block? Ramsey could self-evict, go be with his family, and then the brothers have to put up 2 new nominations.
Yeah, I'm not really sure is the answer. It's all those things you said are true. We did not see Ramsey use the power of veto on himself. In fact, he did not. I mean, that's just baloney that the show included that at the beginning. And by the way, I have never heard that before. Previously, they said, obviously Ramsey intended to use the veto on himself. They said it in a future tense, but then now they're saying it in a past tense, like Ramsey used the veto on himself, which never happened because we didn't see it. I mean, he wasn't even there for it. So again, he wanted to use the veto on Maddie. That was his intention. Obviously there was some discussion with some production. It was a weird week. They didn't know exactly what to do. Production had to make a decision on the fly, and I don't know exactly what they told him, but it didn't happen, whatever happened. And so the brothers essentially got 2-for-1. They got both Maddie and Ramsey, both of their nominees, out of the house, which I always felt was a little bit unfair, but that's Big Brother Canada.
Yeah, I do think it was a bit unfair. To me, it's a bit like the Aubrey and Neil situation that we had on Survivor this season, where, and I'm going to spoil things from this season of Survivor that have already happened if you are DVRing like 6 episodes ahead. But where Neil ends up getting medevaced out of the game, he has the hidden immunity idol, and Aubrey thought he was going to give it to her. He ends up leaving with it as a souvenir. Now, obviously, Ramsey isn't saying, I'm taking the power of veto with me as a souvenir. You can't have it, Maddie. But you would have to think that this would happen. Do Alex or Taryn, do you have any sort of logical explanation of why this couldn't have happened, or it was just that it was not what production wanted for this week?
I just think for whatever reason, they decided that they wanted the week to go through. I guess they weren't super excited about having 2 double evictions or whatever they had planned to take this extra number out. I guess their reasoning was, you know, if Ramsey hadn't heard this news, he would have planned on using the veto on himself. So prior to that, we're going to cut. That's going to be the cutoff. And we're going to not allow him to use the veto on Maddie before he leaves, because that wouldn't be fair, which I disagree with. I think that the right move is to just cancel the week, because I don't think it's necessarily fair that the brothers have to put up 2 new nominees. And I also don't think it's fair that they get to take out 2 nominees. So either way, I think the best move is to just cancel the week. They got one of their nominations out. That's the best case for all scenarios.
Alex, do you get the sense that for some reason production did not want to keep Maddie around? Because I think that Maddie is somebody who's been a consistent source of drama for the show. I really don't understand the reasoning here, because she's been somebody who's really stirred the pot. She's fought with Kelsey at every turn. She's fought with a number of the women in the house. She's always getting into something with somebody. So you could very easily keep her in the house. Ramsey would give the veto to her. You could either A, just say, okay, that was the eviction for the week, and then have sort of like an extended HOH competition going into the Thursday show. But to really hide behind, oh, the integrity of the game of the, you know, that Ramsey won the veto, so he had to use it on himself, and then just to send Maddie out like a lamb to the slaughter, were they more afraid they were going to lose somebody else in this spot?
You know, I don't know. I've stopped really trying to put myself in the heads of production, because I feel like a lot of things this season have been kind of questionable from a decision-making standpoint. I mean, we've touched on some of these twists seeming like they have short-term benefits and kind of long-term deteriorating effects on the quality of the gameplay. But like as far as this went, you know, this is an unforeseen circumstance that they couldn't see coming at all. And there is no, you know, like contingency plan in place, I'm sure, because they've never seen something like this happen. I think they just kind of, you know, made a judgment call and, you know, there wasn't going to be a perfect answer. And this is probably not the closest thing there is to one, but it was an option and it's the one they chose to roll with.
Yeah. I'm just trying to wrap my head around, is this more interesting or less interesting from a TV perspective to have Maddie gone because that there was, she was that one last person left from that side of the house. And now I guess we have, we just are sort of getting a clean slate here with these final 20 days or so of what does the board look like. And so going into this next eviction, I think it's going to be interesting to see how there's a reset. One of the interesting things I thought from this week was the idea that the brothers ended up being one of the top two picks for Canada's favorite. And I feel like I was talking about this a couple of weeks ago on the podcast where I said, are they in the mix, where we tried to sort of prognosticate who is Canada's favorite player right now? And we were talking about Joel potentially, but I brought up the idea of the brothers because of the corny stuff that goes on with them. Are people really falling in love with them? Do they have sort of John Party type charisma where he was somebody who Canada really liked? Brent, was that surprising to you to see the brothers end up being one of the top two picks for Canada's vote?
It was surprising for me, although I don't think it should have been. You know, they're two young, clean-cut, good-looking guys. They have a sort of an interesting relationship that I think all of us can relate to. You know, Phil's the older brother, obviously tells his little younger brother what to do. You even saw that on the pseudo fight that they had tonight. And wasn't that something? But anyway, I just think it's something that people can relate to, and there are so many other horrible people in the house, and for, you know, not for nothing, but Joel hasn't even really been seen on the show for the past few weeks, for the most part, so I can't blame Canada for not voting for him.
Yeah. Taryn, that I don't know if we've had anything like this talked about. I'm not sure exactly what the synergy is, but do you think that the brothers, that the Pax Bros, seem like a shoe-in for the upcoming season of Amazing Race Canada?
I don't know, because I feel like their edit kind of took a turn this week where Tim is kind of calling them out for not making the bold move. So I'm not sure if their popularity is going to maintain. But it wouldn't surprise me. Granted, I haven't seen the show, but I think that the brothers are somebody that the show is trying to push a lot. So, you know.
Yeah.
After learning that UFC fighter was from Amazing Race Canada and knowing that that's now like the same production company, I think that's a pretty good call, actually.
Yeah. Scott St. Pierre, of course, one of Canada's favorite sons who works with us on here on the podcast, that he says that Big Brother is on Global and Amazing Race is on CTV. So it's not all on CBS like we have here in the United States. But I wonder also, and Scott, feel free to weigh in on this, of that is this idea that the brothers have that the final two people should be Canadian. Is that playing with Canadian viewers, or do people say like, hey, is that a turnoff for some of the viewers?
I've seen some people on Twitter actually kind of going both ways. Like, you know,
Canadians?
Yeah, because I don't want to give my opinion because my opinion is not qualified.
You have a Canadian flag hanging in your house.
What are the Canadians? Right. Well, that's a show of solidarity. That's not, you know, my transition to Canadian citizenship. I feel like, you know, I've seen both, and I feel like most people are like, yeah, don't be xenophobic. The best player should win. And I feel like that's probably the correct take. Like, if the best player gets there, you know, they knew the twist from day one was these are international players, you know. That's at the same time, you know, it's there are a few people out there, I think, who feel like, you know, this is Canadian Big Brother and it almost, you know, cheapens the well, or, you know, whatever you want to say, you know, makes us look bad by comparison if we've just brought in a free agent from Australia and he just cleans our clocks.
Yeah. Scott is saying that it's playing well for him. He is appreciating this from the brothers. Now, Taryn, you've been a staunch Tim advocate for most of this season. What did you think about Tim's turn this week where he wants to make his big move? He wants to go up on the block against Maddie. Do you feel like, is this the right amount of time where, just like, you know, we went through in our own heads, like, boy, the end is a lot closer than we felt. Is it time for a player like Tim to be making that sort of a move, and did it buy him anything?
No, it didn't. I really hated the move. I mean, Tim's stock in the game just totally crashed the second he pushed for Maddie and Ramsey to go on the block instead of Jared and Kelsey. Mm-hmm. And it continued to crash as he then tried to get Jared backdoored. Everybody is onto his game at this point. He was one of the leading targets going into this week. So depending on who wins this HOH, we could be seeing Tim up on the block, potentially going home, where he was in a very good spot prior to this week. So definitely don't like his maneuvering this week.
Yes. Was this his Arlie week?
Yeah, it kind of was, you know, because he has the building blocks to play a really good game. But I feel like he gets bored and he feels like he wants to play the edit more than he's playing the game. And I feel like that's really hurting him in the game.
Yeah. Alex, let's talk a little bit about the brothers and where they stand coming out of this HOH week, where we've seen on multiple occasions this season where the HOH comes in. Maddie was the HOH 2 weeks ago. She ends up going home this week. And now here come the brothers. They are coming out of an HOH week. Do you feel like that they're in a good position coming out of their HOH, or do you think that they have a decent chance to follow Maddie out the door?
No, I think there's a very real shot at, you know, continuing the revolving door situation. I think, you know, the brothers didn't play particularly well from, you know, a position of power this past week. They really, you know, just kind of asserted things without really kind of asking people's opinions or kind of, you know, it was a lot more of telling as opposed to, you know, asking and gauging opinion. It was a lot more of just kind of, this is how it's going to be. And I think that tends to not play well, you know, traditionally. And I do feel like they didn't really do anything this past week to set themselves up going forward with kind of the numbers where they want them to be to make a run at the end.
But don't you think that they're set up well? Like, I kind of like this idea that they said, you know, where we had this whole night of making memes in the house, and it was this idea of, oh, the brothers are just these two dumb idiots, and, you know, they're fighting with each other. And I feel like that they're coming off as very non-threatening, and I feel like that this seems like it's good cover, and they've actually played this much better than I ever thought they possibly would be able to, and I could envision a scenario where they ultimately win the game, where I couldn't at the start of the season.
Well, yeah, I mean, if your expectation at the start of the season was there's no way these guys can win, then, yeah, they've certainly exceeded expectations. And, yeah, my expectations weren't that high. So I think, yeah, there's definitely some credit to be given to them. I just think that they were in a position where they could have used this HOH to really solidify some endgame bonds. And I don't feel like they kind of – I feel like the approach they took was heavy-handed to the degree that they weren't able to do that.
Okay. Brent, let's talk about Jared and Kelsey and how they're both still in the house. Somehow, we're down to only 7 competitors left in the game, and we have 2 of them being Jared and Kelsey, even though it seems like that they've been on the block together seemingly numerous times this season. How is this possible, and could they potentially make a run to the final two?
Yes, I think they could make a run to the final two, depending on who wins head of household. That's what it's going to come down to. But I will say that Jared and Kelsey are both on to Tim more than anybody else. I think if they win head of household, or if their family members win head of household, they would probably go after Tim. Just to clarify what happened this past week, Jared and Kelsey and the brothers were all working on saving Maddie. You know, this is something that maybe got short shrift in the episode. And they, you know, they needed 3 votes to do it. They had 2. Jared and Kelsey were thinking about it, you know, thinking about saving Maddie, potentially evicting Tim, because that's what the brothers really wanted. The brothers were really pushing for this, and they couldn't get Joel's vote, but that really exposed them. So I feel like all of them, the brothers, Jared and Kelsey, all kind of got caught up in that, oh, we were trying to get rid of Tim, and oops, we didn't quite do it yet. So they may be in danger depending on who wins head of household.
Taryn, to me, this is so muddy in terms of who's with who at this point in time, but very quickly it's gotten to this very manageable number where you could sort of like wrap your head around that there's only 7 competitors, 8 people, obviously the brothers count as one person. We're on the verge of a double elimination this week where we're going to be down to 5 1 week from today. How do you see the alliances in the house right now?
Yeah, they're actually pretty straightforward. It's basically Cass, Tim, Joel, and Nikki kind of tagging along with them versus Jared, Kelsey, and the brothers. That's basically how it lays out. And yep, depending on who wins the HOH, one side will be going after the other. And they'll probably continue to do so even after going into the next week and the double and so on.
Okay. Joel is somebody who at different points in the game we thought was more of a threat. Alex, does Joel have a shot at this thing?
Oh, absolutely. Joel probably has the best shot at this thing right now because wow. I mean, there's seven people left and you're still not seeing them on TV, Rob. We talk about how that's a good sign. That's ridiculous. Like, there's no way that a guy with seven players left should be invisible in the edit. But Joel is because, yeah, people forget he's there. Like, even the brothers, like, just don't seem to think he can win the game. Or, you know, it's just mind-boggling that they could have watched this game before and be discounting someone like Joel to the degree that they are in there.
Rob, I will say that if anybody was the beneficiary of Mitch going, it was Joel, because Joel had voted on the wrong side of the numbers two times in a row right before Mitch was, you know, essentially evicted by a twist. If Mitch stays in the house, if Kelsey doesn't come back, you know, if, but still, I really think that Joel is not long for this game or is going to get caught up in whatever machinations that he was using in the house, because he would have taken Tim or Mitch's spot in being evicted, I think. But instead, Kelsey came back. You know, she had her sights totally set on Mitch. And I apologize for those of you who say we bring up Mitch in every podcast. I didn't intend to do it.
Usually people are complaining about that too much.
Yes,
Mitch.
No,
one person complained.
He went on about it. But still, I love you. I love you out there. I get it. But again, Joel was the beneficiary of this because he was playing badly. And remember, I've said on this podcast that it irritates the hell out of me. And that's because he was playing badly and kind of whining about it. And he really got caught up in the whole LaVita thing. And then, like, once the twist came, it was like all of his sins were washed clean. And now he gets to play the game that he always wanted to all along.
All right, Alex, let's talk about Cassandra, because she's somebody who I marked early as somebody I thought she was going to be the first person out. I thought that she was going to be too mouthy for this game. She did come 1 week, came very, very close to potentially going out the door, but she is somebody who's really emerged here and maybe might be the person out of all this group where we're talking about a lot of people who are playing not so great right now. She seems like she's coming into her own. What have you liked about what Cassandra has been doing of late?
I mean, I think what I see from Cassandra now, I always saw from Cassandra. And yeah, the downside, you know, Cassandra's weakness in the game is her, you know, her lack of a filter or her, you know, decision to usually like say the snarky, funny comment, you know, to get laughs, even at the expense of like friendship or like, you know, making people comfortable. But I mean, she, and certainly this is a relative statement, you know, in Big Brother Canada 3, I think we had a lot more super fans with a lot better understanding of the game. But relative to this cast, Cassandra has like an elite level understanding of strategy and what's going on. I mean, she's one of the few people in there that really gets it, that's still left in the game. And that is very evident by the way she's kind of positioning herself, the way she's been in recent weeks able to kind of be the only player who's talking to every single person in there and somehow not have it come back to bite her.
Yeah, and I think that's been very impressive about her, Brent. Now, we saw her earlier this season get into it with LaVita after the whole "I can't believe that bitch won" incident. But outside of that, that she's been one of the few, especially from the women, that she was able to get along, at least even though she did not like people like Maddie, that she was able to at least fake her way through that. And I think that has really positioned her well here towards the end game.
Yeah, she's a good actress, and she's also very fun on the feeds, and she's also very fun in the diary room. I really think she gives you everything you want in a Big Brother Canada contestant and a Big Brother US contestant, for that matter. I think she has insulated herself so well at this point in the game because, you know, she's with Tim. And, you know, Tim's always going to be evicted before her. Jared and Kelsey are, you know, they sort of have a it's sort of a weird three-person alliance where they sort of include Tim as the fourth person. But, you know, like neither one of them really trusts the other person, but they're saying we're in an alliance together. So I don't think that they would ever go after Cassandra first. The brothers, you know, I don't think they would go after Cassandra. The only person who would go after Cassandra is Nikki. That's the one danger. If something fluky happens, like, you know, a la Sabrina, Big Brother Canada 2, and Nikki somehow wins ahead of household, that's when Cassandra's going to be in danger. Other than that, I don't see her going anywhere.
Well, it should be noted that Cassandra has been caught almost equally as much as Tim. And I do think that she is the secondary target for either for Jared or Kelsey if they win HOH. If Tim wins the veto, Cass is probably going to go home there.
Hmm. Now, Taryn, the one thing that Cassandra has been pretty dead wrong about this season, and we haven't had a chance to talk about this on the show a couple of weeks ago, and it was right before I was ending up going back home to Long Island, and I haven't been able to talk Big Brother Canada. She was reaching out to me on the live feeds for help. That apparently she got word through Joel that I could help her date Joe Anglim.
Are you saying you can't, Rob?
Yes. That she seems to be under the misconception that I can somehow set this up, that all she could think about is Joe's body, and apparently that she thinks that I have some pull there.
All well, I could think about was Joe's body.
Yes.
I hope you don't disappoint.
Yeah.
No, I don't seriously, know. Watching her practice her exit interview with you in the mirror was absolutely my favorite moment of this entire season.
And yes. She clearly has no idea who I am. She clearly is like almost like, you know, Joel is like, yeah, if you go see the wizard, that he can grant you whatever you want. So just tell him that you want a date with Joe, and then he'll help you.
Oh, Boston Rob? No.
Yeah.
Joel,
no idea.
It should be noted, Joel has mentioned Rob has a podcast multiple times and has explained like how the show works. He even mentioned my name. So he actually is like an avid listener.
How did he say the show works?
He was just like, they have correspondence go on and they'll be like, oh, Taryn, who won the veto? And so on and so forth.
I think it's like basically Brent tells everybody what's going on and everybody else agrees. That's how the show works, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Who knew? The one person that we have not mentioned really at all has been Nikki, who is here and seemingly in no danger. It seems as though that her destiny all along was going to be a person in the final two who does not rack up any votes. Alex, do you still see that as the case for Nikki?
Oh, it's interesting. I mean, you know, you look at this jury now, you've got like a Mitch and a Maddie, you know, they're not big fans of Kelsey. I mean, I could start to envision a scenario where Nikki now has, you know, one person in that house in Kelsey who's very unliked and got a second shot at the game that I think she's got a real shot against. I don't know about the rest of the field, but.
Yeah,
Rob, and I also wanted to bring up something really quickly. You know, remember Ramsey left the game, so now there's an even number of jurors, and that may be coming into play too. If Canada gets a vote, I'm sure they'd probably vote for Nikki at the end if it's somebody unlikable that they don't really care for, or who hasn't gotten a very visible edit. So that's also a vote in Nikki's favor as well.
Yeah, go ahead.
I guarantee that Mitch controls three votes in that jury. He has Maddie and he has Raul, and he obviously has his own vote. So I genuinely think that those three are going to be voting together.
You don't think Nikki's going to tell Raul off in the final jury deliberation?
Yeah, Raul would vote for Kelsey over Nikki. Come on, like what?
I don't know, Mitch, having all that time,
should I still do it?
Raul
We're talking
was,
about the guy who still thinks that he played a good game. But he
left because of them. He's in the jury with Mitch all this time, and he's like entranced by Mitch's, 5 million YouTube subscribers.
I think you're smoking your own whatever vapors over there. Yeah,
that's smoking your vapors.
It's Zen Zhu with the Ginger Ninja.
Yeah.
No, I really do think like it's a fundamental mistake for anyone to put someone like Mitch as the foreman of a jury in a game like this, because you don't want someone like that to have so much influence. You know what I mean? Like if these people really knew what they were doing, they'd have taken him out 1 week earlier, or even I guess 1 week later if it has to come to that. But it's tough.
Yeah, but if Nikki Graham wins this show, can we just stop podcasting about it? I mean, we go on here for like 12 weeks and talk about like, oh, did you see that move? Oh, look at this strategy. Oh, no, they really blew it. And here's somebody...
It's not going to happen, Rob. Don't worry. It's not going to happen. The only way it happens, I think, is if Kelsey gets to the end with Nikki. It's a slim possibility. I think anybody else beats her.
I have to say, I think my favorite moment of the week was when the brothers were talking with Kelsey and they were telling her how she has no chance in the game. And they're like, yeah, but you're not going to win. Stop it. You no shot.
That's mean. No, it's a fact.
It's like, I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm just saying that there's no way you're going to win the game. Stop it. That was really good. Very interesting spot. Let's jump into some questions and then we'll talk about the live feeds and where we're going with this week's HOH. Oh, Rhaegar Targaryen. Wow. All set for Game of Thrones this weekend. What odds would you give of a Tim and Nikki final two? Could we have an all wild card final two, Brent?
Yes, I think it's certainly a possibility. Although Tim has talked about on the feeds, and again, he's usually talking with Cassandra, and he doesn't talk a lot to himself like Steve did last year in Big Brother 17, which I love because then you get an understanding of where a player's head is at. Tim keeps saying that he wants to go to the end with Cassandra, and he considers Nikki his roadblock to the end. So I think a lot of people are scared of the Victoria factor with Nikki, that, you know, if you're sitting on the block next to her, you're probably going to go home, and that she's in, you know, if you're in the final four, in the final three with Nikki, somebody's always going to choose Nikki to take to the end over you. So that has come up on the feeds, and it came up before this head of household win. You know, I think a lot of people are, it's at the front of their minds. I'll just say that.
Okay. All right. Boy, that'd be weird. Ryan Hilliard, can someone explain to me the significant decrease in alliance names this season? In Big Brother Canada 3, there were so many. In this season, I can't even name one besides the Pax Bros. Yeah, what is going on here, Alex? Did Big Brother Canada shut this down? Was this like a memorandum issued by Marsha the Moose at the start of the season?
Third Wheel
had a name.
Yeah, no, and so does, you know, Tim and Joel and Cass of the Freak Show, you know. So, no, it's not that there's, you know, something to it. I think it just speaks to last season was chock full of super fans who really right. were itching.
There's
to get
no
in there
Jordan Parhar in the house of like, what's this alliance name? What's this alliance name?
The Purple Cobras and, you know, all this kinds of silly nonsense. And this season, you've just got a bunch of recruits who are like, all right, like Jared isn't a super fan of Big Brother. He's an athlete. So he's like, all right, are you on my team? All right, this is our team. You know what I mean? It's not all an right, alliance with a name.
What do you think? What do you guys think that we should name the alliance? What about you want to name them the Eagles?
Well, he actually probably had the most amount of named alliances with Third Wheel and Four Aces.
That's true.
So, Rob, yeah, I think it's actually like just that there's less alliances in general. People were much right. more hesitant to commit to an alliance this season. There was a lot of talk about let's solidify this, let's name it, but it never came to fruition. A lot of that was because of this, you know, nebulous kind of middle group that never really wanted to solidify anything with anybody. And that kind of continued throughout the season. And still, the only solid alliance in the house now is the one with the numbers.
Brian, what were you going to say?
Well, no, just Taryn touched on it. It's because of this the mushy middle and everybody. the alliances are so fluid.
They're mighty middle.
Well, that's what I called it. I called it the mushy middle, but whatever. It's fine. I didn't think it was that mighty, but it was mushy, all right, because you couldn't tell who was with who, and it makes our job a lot more fun because you can't tell who's lying to who. There have been times in the house where I see people talking, and you know they're saying we're in an alliance, and I'm kind of like, I don't really know if they're telling the truth or not, and I like that because last season on, you know, in Big Brother Canada 3 and even Big Brother 17 US, you definitely knew who was with who. It was never, you know, it was all about the competition wins. At least there is a little bit of intrigue as far as what the relationships are in the house, and there's always a few exceptions. Like, you know, even though Cass is with Tim and Joel and Nikki, Nikki sort of doesn't really like Cass, so you know that's an interesting sort of thing going on there in their alliance.
Okay. Let's take one from Casey, who says, is it a cult leader quality in Tim that makes him so good at Big Brother Canada? He's controlled the public's vote in Big Brother Australia. All right. So, Taryn, you've said that you did not love the move that Tim made this week, but do you feel like that he has been like a cult leader?
He has been in the past. Yeah, he has that ability just because he's so unique and he's so charismatic that he draws attention to himself and he can sort of preach to people and give advice. And he was able to play that role for a really long time. But he went a step too far this week and overplayed and people caught on to it. And now he's just kind of another player in the house right now.
Mm. Yeah. Jeremiah says, if Nick and Phil are on the jury, could they be split up to make Ramsey's exit in terms of making one more jury vote? Boy, I don't think I love that. Do you guys think that we should be giving
Terrible.
Pax Bros
Terrible
two
idea.
Votes?
No, they told them that they would never be split up. and you know, Big Brother made a big show of this, that, you know, they're one person, they're not going to be split up whatsoever. Plus, you have Big Brother Canada, where you have people voting people into the house. Of course, they're going to give it to Canada as a vote at the end if they don't do what they did last season, which is knock somebody off the jury, which you never know if that's a possibility.
That's a possibility.
Plus, Phil hasn't allowed Nick to make any kind of executive decision this entire game. So why would the producers force his hand?
Yeah. But that was Big Brother Canada 2, that Canada had a jury vote, right? They voted for John Party?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. Then Mike Bloom, the great Mike Bloom, did a nice job filling in for me on a number of different shows last week. What are the chances Mitch pulls a half Murphy during the finale? All right, I think we're probably over our Mitch quota for this episode, but real quick, Brent, what are the chances that Mitch proposes to his boo at the finale?
Highly likely. I think that Mitch is going to take his foreman status very seriously. And if he can't win the game, he wants to make sure that somebody who he thinks is worthy wins the game. So I think he'll go all out for it.
And propose?
Well, no, it's propose. I thought this was, what was
that's
the question?
That's the full Murphy. Yeah. I thought we were just talking about Mitch advocating.
I'm sorry. That's the full. I got so confused.
Which half?
So yeah, which half? I guess he could, the technical half Murphy is when you stand up and do a stump speech. Of like, hey, don't be mad. Don't be mad at this person. Boston Rob played the best game. You got to vote for them. The full Murphy would then be if he went on to propose to his boo.
Oh, okay. I heard half Murphy and I just zoned out and started like formulating my own thing to say.
No,
like,
I got that's my bad.
Oh, okay. I did hear half Murphy. Okay, cool. Then I feel better.
Yes. So you say just half and not a full Murphy?
Yeah, just half. I don't think he's the kind of guy who's going to pull a Mike Boogie, you know, season two and propose to freaking Kristen.
That he's got more YouTube subscribers than people that watch Big Brother Canada. He doesn't need to slum it and propose on Big Brother Canada.
The elusive full Murphy.
Doing a YouTube video for it.
Yeah.
They're not going to give it to Big Brother Canada. They're going to put it on YouTube.
Yeah. One more question, then we'll do the live feeds. Moose Girl, 1996. Can Cassandra win votes at the end? I think she's playing a great game, but the house guests seem to seriously be underestimating all that she's done. Yeah, what do you think, Taryn? Does she have the Godfrey problem?
You know, I was asked this before, and I really don't think that she does. People are saying that people aren't seeing what she's doing, but I think that's maybe the edit is misleading people to think that, because I feel like people have pretty much known what she's been doing from the start of the game. Everyone has always seen her as really shady and like playing over the top. I feel like if she got to the end, they'd be like, well, we should have known better because we knew what she was doing all along. Obviously, she'll have trouble if she's up against people that are charismatic like Tim or somebody who was a target the whole game like Jared. But I don't think she plans on being there with those people. I think she wants to get there with either Kelsey or Nikki, which are easily her better chances.
Brent, do you think though she has a Tim problem in that if she does get Tim evicted, if she is the cause of Tim's eviction from the game, don't you feel like Tim's going to be a poor sport about this and really lobby against her? No,
I am the same person who said that Vanessa would not be a poor sport, and she would eventually vote for Steve at the end, and she clearly did not. Vanessa, I can't believe you did that. Anyway, I do believe that Tim would gladly vote for the person who got him out. Like, I mean, he would feel it's incumbent upon him to give it to her if she successfully got him out of the house.
All right, I really do want to talk about the spoilers, so let's go ahead and take a minute and set up our spoiler warning here for Big Brother Canada. Of course, Jordan Parhar will be back this Sunday night to talk about everything that happens to get you set up for the start of Double Eviction Week, where you will see how the HOH competition played out. Before we talked about spoilers, do you guys like it that they did the family member thing?
Terrible.
Okay. All right. So unanimous decision across the board. The live feed correspondents don't like it. So then Jordan will be back on Sunday. 1 week from today, we're scheduled to have Derek Levasseur here with us to talk Big Brother Canada. So I'm very excited about that. Okay, let's get into the Big Brother spoilers. Hit it, Ryan Elder.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
All right. Spoilers are here. It's time to talk about family members, falling rocks, and everything else in between. All right. Taryn, why don't you take us through the HOH competition from Thursday night?
Well, basically, the winner of the competition was a father, and it was Cassandra's father.
Oh!
Woo-hoo!
Yes. He apparently came within, I think, 30 rocks of the 1,000 rocks, so very good on him.
Very good. Okay. So we ended up with the HOH competition win for Cassandra's dad. Alex, did they have any, what sort of like a weird stuff did they end up doing that that we had where Arissa was teasing like, oh, there'll be some other weird things that happened. Do you know any of the stuff that they did?
Not too much. I mean, that's the thing about Big Brother Canada is feeds are down a lot of the time, and it's really hard to get a good sense of exactly what goes on until the episode comes around for stuff like competitions and tasks and things like that. But we do get the sense that there was time where the house guests were able to, I guess, get like 3 pieces of information from the family member, which, you know, I'm not a big fan of, but I guess they – everyone was able to get a brief interaction there.
We do know that I'm pretty sure that the family members had some sort of decision to make that ultimately ended up having it so that there's no more have-nots for the rest of the season.
Oh, right.
I don't know how that played out exactly, but I'm pretty sure that's what they were talking about in the episode.
It seems like a weird thing to have the family members vote on. Should there be have-nots anymore?
I don't know if it was a vote or if it was like, you know, something else that they had to do. But yeah.
Yeah.
They were just going to end it and they just said like, hey, your family decided to end it. Yay, let's all have a party in the backyard.
So I really did like this competition when they did it in Big Brother Canada 3, where they were sort of like in the coffins, like holding on, and they had to, you know, it was like 1,000 seconds went by or whatever. And then it was like they put like worms on them and then they had their family members talking to them. That was really cool last season. I feel like this was less cool. Brent, do you feel like that this was inspired at all after the Ramsey departure from the game, that they wanted to give everybody an opportunity to connect with loved ones?
No, because they announced this on the previous eviction show before anything with Ramsey had ever taken place. What I think this was inspired by was yet another opportunity for Big Brother Canada to rig the HOH competition for Nikki to get it, because I said last week that this was Nikki's best shot to win head of household. You know, she, for some reason, they put that stupid roulette ball out there and then she didn't win it again. Now you have somebody else competing for Nikki, and well, he didn't come through again. So, you know, I just think, like, I agree with what Taryn said. This is terrible, Rob.
Wait, I'm not rejecting what you're saying, but I'm not following the logic of why would the roulette ball help Nikki's chances?
No. What I'm saying is, like I said last week, was her best chance to win by having Canada vote. I don't know why they put the top 2 thing in there. Maybe they wanted to make it look more fair. And then this week, they have other people competing for Nikki and the rest of the other house guests. And I really think that that's what they're doing. I think they want to give her a shot to win head of household.
But don't you feel like that Nikki becoming HOH is the worst thing that could possibly happen to her? Isn't her success based on the fact nobody's worried about her?
No. I think they think it would be great television. Like, we'd like to watch it and see what crazy things she's going to do, like, and how she's going to rule the roost like a princess. It'd be great. I love
it. And to Brent's point, like, every, you know, the few, like, fan-based exit polls that I've seen on, you know, if you voted last week, who did you vote for? Nikki was, like, number one by a large margin, and then it was, like, brothers 2A, 2B, 2C. You know what I mean? Like, they were all sitting below 15%, and Nikki had, like, 45, so I feel like, yeah, once you said top 2, it was like Nikki and who, you know, okay. So the brothers are the beneficiary.
So it's also, it seems like that they were trying to make Nikki not be the HOH by, you know, having the roulette ball. If she was going to be number one with a bullet, then I feel like then you had a 50-50 chance that she wasn't going to be it, rather than just saying like, oh, whoever Canada voted to be the HOH.
Well, that's what I never understood, because I felt like everybody wanted to see a Nikki head of household, and then they introduced that stupid roulette ball, which I think goes into their whole high roller thing. Maybe that's what they were. Somebody thought this up. Obviously, they didn't think it through. They screwed up. It was bad television. Goodbye.
All right. So Cassandra is the HOH. And now, so Taryn, as you set up the 2 sides of the house, where you have Cassandra on the side of the house with Tim and Joel and Nikki, then you have the brothers and Kelsey and Jared. So is it going to be again the Jared and Kelsey show up on the block?
Well, no, actually. So basically, it's, and Cassandra actually has like a plan, unlike the last like 5 HOHs.
Yes.
She wants to put up the brothers and Nikki as a pawn. And this is because she wants to take the brothers out, which will weaken Jared and Kelsey's position. She wants to do it while keeping Jared and Kelsey as allies, just in case they win next week. And with Nikki on the block, she's an obvious pawn. They have the votes to take out whoever they want anyway. It's pretty much the best thing she could have done. Obviously, she can go after Jared or Kelsey, but then she still has the brothers to deal with anyway. So she might as well just take out the brothers and try to keep the other two as allies.
Hmm. All right. And you got Alex and Brent, any opposition to this plan?
No, none whatsoever. I love this plan. There's only four people voting this week. As long as that Cassandra, Tim, and Joel stick together, they control exactly who goes home. Even if, Nikki's not going to like being on the block, but, she's going to put up with it. The brothers, I think out of anybody, were probably, a little bit anti-Cassandra along with Jared and Kelsey. And so I like the fact that she's going to leave a couple in the house moving forward. If they get rid of the brothers, Jared and Kelsey are still in the house, and whoever wins head of household next week is likely to go after them. And even if Jared and Kelsey win, they're not going to go after Cassandra. They're going to go after Tim or somebody else. So I love this plan by Cassandra, and I love it that she has a plan.
Alex, I really like the move given, that she's established the relationship that she does have with Jared and Kelsey. If she didn't have that, this is not that great a move because, I saw Taryn mention this on Twitter. He's absolutely right. The danger here is that, you put up the brothers and Nikki as a pawn, and then say Jared wins HOH. If he decides to take off, the brothers and make a power move there, then they could actually have the numbers to keep Kelsey over Nikki if that was the renom plan. So they could pull a power move there.
No.
But Cassandra has kind of set him up to prevent that.
Well, they can't Cassandra, do that. Because
right,
then
Cassandra
they
would be the vote to evict.
Exactly. Yeah, they'd still have the votes either way. What I was saying was that Jared and Kelsey should want to try to make that happen.
Right.
I don't see a way for them to do it, though.
Without alienating Cass.
Because Cass isn't stupid.
Right, and Kelsey would be the renom. And so, I'm sure Cass would say to Jared, if you use the veto on the brothers, I'm putting Kelsey up and we're going to evict her.
Yeah, and it should be noted that if the brothers win the veto, Jared is the backdoor option.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Now, I agree that seems like a pretty solid move for Cassandra, but I don't think that this seems so hot for Tim in terms of that, Cassandra is able to sort of, I always like to use the analogy of the Jenga game. Cassandra's able to potentially make her move, take her block out, the whole tower is still standing, nobody's mad at her. But I do feel like that Tim is left in the house as the biggest target on that side, should Jared, in the likely event he becomes the HOH, the following week. Taryn, I feel like that Tim is set up pretty poorly here.
He's not in a great spot. Again, he is probably the first target before Cass. So he might have to win veto if either Jared or Kelsey wins HOH. What Tim should be doing is anything in his power to get the brothers to win the veto. Because if the brothers win the veto, Cass has to backdoor Jared, and then Tim is golden. And so far, his luck has been great. The fact that he didn't have to be the HOH this week is great for him, because Cass is the one up there taking all the blood. The more he can get her to be the face of this thing, the more he can kind of try and hide in the background. So he's still not in a great spot. He was in a really terrible spot. He's slowly climbing up at this point.
And amidst all of this, no one is talking about Joel.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I was going to say that, what was my point? I forget what I was going
to
say.
Alex, let me go back to you about the brothers in terms of where, it seemed like that they were in, a pretty okay spot, but now they are potentially on the verge of going out in the first part of the double eviction. What was the biggest mistake you feel like they've made in the game?
Showing your cards too overtly. It's letting everyone know where their minds are at all times. It's, back and forthing. It's a lot of that. It's not like settling and deciding this is what we're going to do. It's a lot of what LaVita had a problem with when she was head of household, is that, what you need to do is make your plan in like the first 2% of your HOH reign, and then spend the last 98% seeing it to fruition. Making it happen, actualizing it. And instead, they spent so long just kind of, what are we going to do? Is this the right thing? Are we sure it's the right thing? That by the time you go to lock down the votes that you need, things happen, and then they decide they want to get rid of Tim. But at that point, there's no way they can lock down the votes that they need to get rid of him. So they show their cards further and then aren't able to follow through. It's a mess.
Yeah. If I had to narrow it down to one thing, I think it's trusting Jared and Kelsey. They should never do that, but they have been doing that all game. As soon as Cass won HOH, Jared and Kelsey ran straight to her and said, hey, the brothers have been talking about you. Nominate the brothers. And the brothers has still not thrown Jared and Kelsey under the bus. So they trusted them way too much, and, you know, down they go.
Yeah, and it does seem like the brothers at different points would be like, oh, we got to get rid of Jared. We got to get rid of Jared. And then there's the whole love triangle with Kelsey and who she kissed from them. And it just seems, but it seems like that they've never really gone to all out into war with them.
Yeah, they keep going back. You know, Jared has constantly wanted them gone, but they really want to bro down. I think Brent mentioned it before in a different podcast where, like, they want to be the cool kids. They see Jared as the cool kid. And when they're with Jared, they feel like, haha, we're cool and everyone else isn't. And that emotional drive has driven their game up until this point and is likely going to be the cause of the end of it.
I'll tell you what, though, I envision a future day when the Pax Bros are guests on a Big Brother Happy Hour, and it'll be a great podcast.
It will be a great podcast.
The two of them in one box.
Phil is great.
They'll be with the cool kids.
Yeah, finally. Yeah. Finally. Could be
Rob,
great.
By the way, if you haven't seen, I know you haven't watched the feeds. I know because you're a busy guy, but the feeds are so great right now because it's so great watching somebody who was, you know, they were, and they had such HOH-itis last week. They had five different plans that they wanted to do last week as head of household. And they totally said, we didn't have, you know, HOH-itis. This was a flawless HOH.
We're legends, bro.
Yes, yeah. We were legends. So now it's a fall from grace. They know they're going to go up on the block. They're talking to each other. And I think this is where, you know, having somebody you can trust 100% absolutely does you a disservice because they are just feeding each other so much bullshit. They're just eating out of each other's hands. Like, you know, we'll get out of this. You know, she's not going to put us up, and we're the best, but we're the masterminds in this game. But, you know, you can see that they're cowering in their boots. Like, it's so wonderful right now.
Right?
It's always great feeds when someone takes a tumble off the top of the mountain, but especially when they did really nothing to get themselves to the top of the mountain to begin with. When they kind of like just took the express elevator there.
Yeah. Brett, was it Phil or Nick that said floaters get a life jacket?
That was Phil, and boy did he mess that up. I mean, I called him out for that. You know, gosh, I mean, come on, if you're gonna use the line, get it right, you know?
Take two.
Yes.
Yeah. Cass had a conversation with them just earlier where she was like, you know, I heard a bunch of stuff about what you were doing last week, but I don't believe it because you're not that dumb, right? And she knows that they did it. Like, she's just trolling them at this point.
Yeah. Hey.
Yes. We love Cass for that.
And at which point, the only answer they can give is, right, we're not that dumb.
Yeah, no,
all the things we know we did. Like, yeah, amazing.
Okay. Let's take some more questions about Big Brother Canada and the Final Seven. Moose Girl 1996 is back. Can Cassandra win votes at the end? I think she's playing a great game, but the house guests seem to be seriously underestimating her. Well, let's just go and talk about this one more time. And in terms of Mitch's view of Cassandra, if he's the mayor of Ponderosa in the jury house, Taryn, do you think that he would, as the foreman of the jury, say, yes, let's give it to Cassandra?
I think it depends on who she's up against. I think right now, Mitch left the game thinking, okay, Tim is the mastermind here, and he hasn't seen Tim's downfall, and he likely won't ever really fully grasp it because he wasn't there to see it, and I don't think anyone else really fully grasps it. So if she's up against Tim, he may think, like, oh, you know, Tim did it. He made it to the end. He was the mastermind. If she's up against someone like Kelsey, I feel like despite how he said he would vote for somebody like Kelsey, I think it would be obvious that Cass, you know, dragged Kelsey there and he would vote for Cass.
Okay.
It's a shame he doesn't have some live feeds or something to watch.
Right?
Like Kelsey and LaVita. Okay. Nick McFarlane wants to say, did Tim seriously think Maddie was running a good house meeting? It was a disaster. Alex, could you take us through the house meeting?
Sure. Yeah. It was just totally shown so differently on the show it's clear. It should be clear to anyone who's like ever studied an edit, right? That like the only perspective you were getting on that house meeting in the show was Maddie's and Tim's in the diary room, which, you know, Tim is he's a diary room, you know, he's a golden boy in the diary room. He'll jump as far as you. He'll do whatever you want him to do in
he
the diary room. He'll say whatever you want him to say.
In the diary room.
So yeah, no, the House meeting did not go like that. Maddie did not gain traction when she sat everyone down in a room. She started a point and Tim would shut it down and she would fluster and then she'd try again. And it was just it wasn't anything like what you saw on TV. I mean, Tim was very quick to just – I mean, he did start to get nervous towards the end. I mean, there was definitely – you know, like he brought out a little bit of aggression that we haven't really seen from him before, where he's kind of calling Maddie, you know, Maddie, you said you weren't going to campaign with closed doors. What happened to that? I guess you're a little bit of a liar. You know, like you could tell you're sweating a little bit because what she was saying rang very true, but she just wasn't persuasive enough to deliver the message in a way that the swing votes like Joel, who's been in deals with Tim since the beginning of the game, were ever going to really hear at this point.
By the way, we do have an exit interview with Maddie. I did speak with her this morning. It was a rather brief exit interview. She was very short with her answers. We will have that for you at the end of this audio podcast.
Awkward.
Yeah,
it doesn't surprise me.
She did not. There are some people that they just talk and talk and talk. She was one of the people that in all of the exit interviews I've done, she was pretty, you know, succinct with what she had to say. Nah, it didn't seem like she was annoyed with me or anything like that. I'm sure she didn't know, have any idea, know me from a hole in the wall. But she did not really want to pontificate about her game and what might have happened.
No major twist on that one, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Then McDurkus wants to know, who is getting evicted in the double? All right, so let's play this out. Let's say it happens as we are saying the brothers go out in part one. Brent, who is likely to go out in the second part of the double eviction?
Believe it or not, I think there is a chance that Nikki could go out in the double. I think that's a slim chance, but I don't think it's a huge chance. But they have been talking about that a lot, that if there's an opportunity to get Nikki out of the house, it would be in the double. Again, if the brothers go home, I still think that Joel or Tim would nominate Jared and Kelsey, and whichever one didn't win the veto would go home, probably Jared, obviously. Obviously, Jared would go home unless he wins the veto, is what I'm trying to say. If Jared wins the veto, I think there are some people who want to get out Nikki, and I don't really understand it, although it is sort of like the Frankie Grande Victoria thing where they're worried about some goat at the end that somebody else is going to take instead of their own selves. So I see where they're coming from, but I think it's still a little bit too soon to try and get Nikki out. Like, get her out at like final five, final four.
So let's just take a look at the numbers right here. So with really it kind of being a double eviction this week, that does sort of change the landscape. So we are anticipating a double eviction coming up here on April the 28th. That will get us down to five players. And then if we have a regular eviction on May the 5th, Cinco de Mayo, that will get us down to the final four. And then if we do like some sort of like they do like a regular like a off night eviction, like if we do an eviction like on Sunday, the 8th, that'll get us down to the final three heading into a finale. So this should be it. And we talked about the specter of a triple eviction along the way. Doesn't seem like that's going to be the case.
Oh, thank God.
Okay. So the double eviction this week should get us back on schedule for a May 12th finale of Big Brother Canada.
I do think the big fish, like if the bros were to go, I do think the big, you know, the obvious fish in the pond are Tim and Jared. You know, depending right, on what side you fall, those should be the people that you're looking at as your number one target.
Okay.
Depending on which side wins HOH, that's
right. Which I know Taryn loves that.
Let's go around the horn real quick. And, you know, we're about 20 days out from the finale. Let's talk about who's going to win the season. Taryn, let's lock in your 3 week away pick.
Oh man. It really just comes down to competitions at this point.
No, don't cop out. Do not cop out on me right now.
I'm giving an explanation.
Of course it comes down to competitions. It's Big Brother.
Well, it doesn't always. So I really feel like Cass has the momentum. I feel like she has the edit. I feel like I think Joel is positioned better, but I think that Cass has the momentum. So I'm going to go with Cass.
Cass has the momentum. Okay. Taryn says Cass. Okay. Brent.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Jared is the winner of Big Brother Canada 4.
Interesting.
It just seems like nobody really wants to go after him. He continues to escape time and time again. And when you let a guy like this get to the end game, I really think he can make a run for it. You know, when the numbers get down so low, like let's say, for example, that during the double, that Jared and Kelsey win head of household. Now you're down to five people and you still have a pair that is very, very powerful in a final five situation. Mm. So I think that Jared has a chance. I really do. And that's what I'm calling to win.
Okay. Alex.
I've been saying for a few weeks, like, I expect Joel. I'm hoping for Cass. But, you know, if he survives this double, you know, Tim really has a very good shot at this thing. I don't want to discount him at all.
Okay. So you're going to say Tim?
Yeah, why not? Let's mix it up. Let's have different answers.
All right. And I'll go a different answer still. I'll say Joel.
Yeah. Yep. Those are the four contenders. So
I'll say Joel. Because I think that, look, I think if the brothers go home this week, I think either Jared or Kelsey will go home in the double. And then we'll see ultimately what happens. Even if Jared and Kelsey get it, they're not going to, you know, Joel will be in the final five no matter what. Now, watch, he'll get eliminated this Thursday. But he'll be in the final five no matter what. And still, who's coming after him? And then when it comes down to, you know, if there's some, there'll be some person left in that final five who's a big threat, whether it's Tim, and I think that ultimately Cassandra has a, you know, she's tight with Joel and with Tim. I think that, she'll probably end up sticking with Joel because he's the nicer guy. She feels like she can trust him more. And then who knows? Like, if it comes down to some sort of a quiz at the end in that final three immunity, final three HOH challenge, which it typically does. We've seen it before with the Steves and the Ians where, if it comes down to some sort of a quiz, he could win that last challenge.
Rob, I will say really quickly that I do see a way that Joel can go home, and it's if the brothers and Jared go home in some order during, you know, this week and then the double eviction, if Cass or Tim then gets power, they're looking at, you know, Kelsey and Nikki and Joel, and, you know, she's not going to evict Tim. So I think Joel's the obvious target in a final five with that lineup of players. I think they would definitely understand, you know, we should fear this guy at the end. But that's maybe me hoping a little bit because I really don't want to see him win.
You're the walking Joel.
I think Cass might go for Tim before Joel.
Yeah. I think so too.
Okay. All right. Okay.
It'll be interesting to see for sure.
Take a couple more questions. Christina Reyna, how do y'all feel about family getting a chance to speak to the house guests and how they seem to have revealed outside info about the game? Did the house guests find out about Prince? Brent, have they been talking about that on the live feeds?
I have not heard it. No.
If only they kept it to that kind of information that couldn't influence the game, Rob. No, they're learning about how fans feel about them and how, like, who they should talk to. They've been given, like, just the worst kind of info from family members. It really, really bothers me, to be perfectly honest, as a fan of this.
Apparently, Jared was told that he can trust Cass by his sister. I don't know why she thought that, because he absolutely can't, but apparently he was told that.
If they're getting misinformation, isn't that good?
Well, it's still outside information. So it's like, it's screwing somebody over, right?
David Bowie is fine.
I just feel like, production to me at this point just feels like a 5-year-old with a couple of toys that just smash them together until they break them, and then like cries until they get another one and then breaks those. And then, you know what I mean? It's like, they just short term, just keep busting their nut. And it's not like,
this is quite an analogy that you're, a very colorful picture you're painting here, Alex.
I love it. He's so
frustrated, Rob.
Yes, it's
5-year-old playing with toys, turning into going in a very dark direction.
By the way, I do think there was a little bit of miscommunication there with Jared and his sister or something that was with him? Yeah. I think, like, she said something like, you know, you don't need to worry about Cass. I think she meant winning. Like don't worry about her winning, like, comps and stuff. Like, I don't think it was ever, like, he misunderstood, like, whatever he thinks he heard, that is not what she said.
Okay. Good. Yeah,
and we also had Cass's dad telling her, like, this was a really important HOH for you to win, like hinting at her, like, you were in a lot of trouble, and stuff like that, where it's just like, it's way too much information. Like, I don't know how this got past, you know, anybody, but
they
yeah.
don't care.
And
don't
to me,
care.
To me, the most frustrating part is then, you know, like, all day today, like, anytime it gets referenced, there's, you know, like, anytime they're talking about, you know, things that were said by family in house, they're so quick to cut feeds. And it's just like, dude, like, this is the fan base that you can't fool. You know what I mean? Your live feeders are your core. They're always watching. Like, you know, maybe we're spoiled because BB17, the feeds were down for all of like 5 minutes for the entire summer, but like, this is not what we signed up for. I'm sorry. It's not.
Yeah. I did forget to mention that other things Cassandra's dad told her were, you eat too much in the house. Okay. Stop eating. And also stop looking at Tim's penis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's doing that too much as well.
Too much.
Yeah, and he told her to be nicer to people. Like, listen more, yeah. Talk less.
Yeah.
Right, like, and to me, like, that's good advice for Cass, but is it going to lead to better TV? How could it possibly? You know yeah. what I mean? Like, making
which
people
part?
Aware
which
of
part?
Their faults.
I feel like that's you know, standard dad advice of stop looking at men's genitals. I think that's
suppose.
Pretty, you know, across the board. Probably could have said, you know, didn't have to single out Tim.
I just feel like once you have family coming in trying to clean up the messy parts of other people's games, that you lose what makes them entertaining in the first place. Mm-hmm.
Right, right. Big Brother 15 would have been a different show had the family members been able to talk to the people on the live feeds.
Yeah, Erin gets to sit down with like a family counselor and her parents, and they get to, you know, talk to her about kind of what would be better to you say going forward. Like, that's, yeah, that's not real. That's scripted. That's yeah. fake.
Okay. Ram 010992 says, I saw on Twitter that UFC fighter guy insulted the house guest. Any validity to that? Was he like the Zing bot?
they weren't very big fans of his, actually.
Why?
They were
what did he do?
Talking.
Nikki said he was hot.
Right. I think that was probably the most positive things they could get from the house guests.
Handsome guy.
A very handsome guy. I mean, I would let him break me in half.
Whoa, terrible.
But yeah, apparently he just like they were like, oh, he acted like a big shot, and like they every time they started to insult him, they cut the feed, so like they just weren't big fans.
Yeah, we know that they didn't like the guy because of how much feeds were down that day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that didn't really do anything for me in terms of did not really run out and get me to go buy UFC number 197 coming up. I don't know who necessarily that was appealing to. Like, I wasn't going to order that UFC, but that guy seemed like he was pretty cool.
Yeah. Terrible cross promotion.
And he knows John Jones, who's a fighter I have heard of, so.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, that was the one famous guy you've heard of. Yeah, exactly.
Megan S. wants some updated power rankings, please. When we gave our winner picks, I don't know if we're going to get consensus power rankings. You want to give us, is your winner pick the same as your number one in the power rankings?
Sure.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. Jared would not be at the top of my power rankings in the house.
Do we all agree that, you know, Kelsey's probably at the bottom?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Kelsey's at the bottom. Yeah.
There's some consensus then.
But why wouldn't the brothers be at the bottom of the power rankings if you guys seem to all be in agreement that they're going to probably go home on Thursday?
I think they have
they
a good
still
shot.
They still have a better shot.
Yeah, because they have a better shot to win if they stay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So maybe this is interesting. All right. So Kelsey has the least shot to win. Who's right above Kelsey?
Nikki.
Okay. Who's at five?
Brothers.
Four?
Yeah, I could see that.
The next four are interchangeable for me. They're all depending on
Jared, Tim, Cassandra, Joel.
I could see four being Joel.
It depends on if there's any like sort of anti international house guests, you know, pro Canadian thing. Like if Cass ends up in the final two with Tim, like I'm intrigued to see how many of the jurors really take to heart the whole, you know, we want a Canadian to win. Because, you know, they talk a big game, but when you know, you have to vote for somebody, you know, Cass will have, you know, taken out quite a few people by that point. Are you really going to give her a vote? I don't know.
And I think it gets interesting, too, if you have like a Jared and Cass scenario. Jared, someone who's been the number one target of the house the entire season, and Cass, who people agree probably played, you know, a better game. That becomes a very interesting discussion as well.
Okay, a couple more questions. Muhammad Abdi says, if Joel wins Big Brother Canada 4, do you think that this nerdy glasses superfan archetype will be wiped off from casting completely, since Ian's season, Ian, Steve, Cochran from Survivor, and if you count Sarah, even though she's way different, her too. I don't know if necessarily that they would stop casting it and say, boy, that there's too many people winning this season that are the quote unquote nerds. I mean, they might start casting more, Taryn.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it individually, the circumstances it took to get these winners were like they were all pretty crazy, right? The coaches, even Steve, who probably played the best of those, like it came down to a coin toss with that last HOH. Otherwise, it's Vanessa. Like I don't think that it's necessarily that this kind of character is like always going to win the season. It's just that they're usually going to go deep and they're going to have a shot, and if they get lucky, they get lucky.
Okay. And just start screening people out if they have glasses. Just turn them away at the door.
I think you could see them.
Alex.
Yeah, I could see them being targeted more. I couldn't see them stop being cast on the show. Right. I think that's probably one of the regulars in the archetype. And also from Mohammed, he wants to know, is it smarter to target the brothers over Jared and Kelsey? If Jared survives this vote, he'll be in the final six and he could win his way to the end a la John Party. Who are bigger targets than the brothers or Jared? Do you guys see Jared having John Party upside?
Sure.
Obviously, I do, since I picked him for my, you know, my winner pick. I do
but
think
isn't
he's
there a big difference between being in an alliance with Kelsey and an alliance with Netta?
And I was going to say, too, I think the average house guest is more like, on better terms with John. Like, I don't recall John ever saying to anyone, like, if you don't vote this way, you're dead to me. Certainly Jared has had a heavier hand in the game than John played with. He's been successful, but I don't think their games are that similar because John was much more laid back in his approach.
Right, I kind of disagree.
Hold on, one at a time. Brent.
That's okay. I'm sorry. I disagree. I do think that the majority of the house guests see Jared as someone who's trustworthy, who they like, who is it's amazing that he's made it this far. You know, if he makes it to the end, I mean, I totally disagree with Alex in a Jared and Cass scenario. I think Jared takes it like hands down. I don't even think it's close. It would be like, 9-0 or 8-1 or something like that.
Kelsey's got to go out right away. I think if Kelsey is gone, I think he's much less of a threat.
Possibly. I don't know, though, but I think the house guests would still fear him. But there are some, again, if somehow there's a way for if Cass and Tim and Joel overthink this coming upcoming eviction and the brothers win the veto and they decide, you know what, we want to get rid of Nikki, because they have talked about that. They have talked about that. If they get too cute with this, then I do think there's a way for them to lose the game to the brothers and Jared.
Okay. Don't get too cute. Okay. Ryan Hill, were the last two HOH comps a plot by Big Brother Canada production to get Nikki and HOH? Brent says it was. Alex and Taryn, do you guys buy this?
I don't think they even have that much forethought. I just think they just throw things at the wall and then watch them fail constantly.
Yeah, I think things are pre-planned. I just don't think that they have. I think they need someone on that staff who's willing to step up and be like, this is a bad idea and here's why. Someone who's seen past seasons.
Are you willing to be that person, Alex?
I'll be that person 2 weeks ago, Rob. I mean, please call
me. We need
anytime,
you. We need you.
Night,
we can't lose you.
I will do double time. I will work double.
We're around the clock.
Now, what we're covering is something that, like, we can all be really, really happy with.
What Up 5 says, what has to happen to turn this season around? Are we going to be disappointed no matter who wins? Now, I feel like that up until this point, we were talking about how this was a bounce back season for Big Brother Canada. We like this season. Have you guys turned on the season, Taryn?
Oh, I mean, I turned on it the second Mitch went home.
Oh, you're out. You're out.
Well, I mean, there's still some entertaining moments, but I feel like the twists have just been coming over and like again and again since that happened. I think at this point we need a full asterisk next to the winner's name, with all the twists that have been happening, the random HOHs, the family member competitions, stuff like that. Like it's and the game has turned into like this thing where it's all about the competitions now, and there's very little strategy happening left. I'm very bored watching the feeds. I think the first half was very fun, but I've seen this on Twitter. I'm not alone in here. A lot of people agree with me on Twitter. Like this isn't some random crazy opinion.
Okay, Alex and Brett, are you guys out on this season as well?
I'm totally with Taryn. And I think it's easy to say, you know, BB Can is going to BB Can, right? Like, which is, you know, what we've been saying all season. But, you know, we're critical because we care, because we want to see this be the best product it possibly can be. And because we believe there's a way to do twists and to make entertaining television without compromising the integrity of the game. So, like, when we're passionate and, you know, complaining and bitching on Twitter, it's not because we're, you know, done with Big Brother Canada. Quite the opposite. We know we're sticking in for the long haul.
It's an intervention. Big Brother is a loved one.
Exactly. Yeah. You got it.
And Brent, you feel the same way on this season? You're out too on Big Brother Canada 4?
No, I do not feel the same way. I love this season. I think that we have a great bunch of house guests here at the end with Tim and Cass and Joel and the brothers. You know, I know Nick never talks, but Phil is fabulous. He's just crazy, and I love him for that. And Jared, you know, I mean, like, I love having a guy like that at the end, some alpha male who has a chance to make a run at it, you know, who usually gets bounced out early. Mm-hmm. I, I, I cannot disagree with them more. I do think there have been less twists this season. Here's the thing. I know the Mitch twist. It hurt. But besides that, everything else to me has been more of just like a crapshoot. Like, I mean, yeah, they put in these crazy, you know, luck-based HOH competitions, but everybody had an equal chance to win them. And Taryn always says that HOH competitions are luck-based, like you shouldn't depend on them anyway. So I don't know how you can be out on it. I really like where the season's going. And I totally, totally dismiss the fact that there should be an asterisk next to whoever wins this season's name. Because if you're going to say that, then you have to say there's an asterisk next to everybody's name who's won Big Brother Canada going all the way back. Well, that's fine.
So the asterisk should be before the number and not after the number on Big Brother Canada.
Exactly. I mean, like look, John Party does not win Big Brother Canada 2 unless Canada's HOH comes up. I mean, seriously, the first five was rolling at that point. Give me a break.
Okay.
It all comes down to the HOH competition that week.
All right. Well, let me just say, as somebody who has not watched the live feed, somebody who's only watching the TV show, I have really enjoyed this season of Big Brother Canada. I do feel like, you know, I've said that I felt like that this week was kind of a Fugazi week, just with everything that went on with the brothers becoming HOH just out of a random drawing. And then with Ramsey going home and that really they can't control. I did think the thing with the veto was pretty wonky. So this week being the exception, I feel like that overall I've really enjoyed this season. And I think I look at a cast by, whereas on a Survivor season, I sort of say, especially with the episodes, how many weeks were sort of just like dud episodes. But with the cast here at the final seven, I don't think we have a dud here in this final seven. And with all due respect to Ramsey, who seems like he was kind of a really nice guy and, you know, we are very sympathetic to him. I think that he was probably one of the weaker cast members here in the season. So to lose him, I don't think that that's a big blow. And I feel like that there's at least something interesting about all these seven people that are left. So it should be a very fun home stretch.
I love
totally co-sign that. Yes, love it.
You love Ramsey?
Yeah, I loved Ramsey.
I love
what, what am I missing? What am I missing with Ramsey? I didn't dislike him. I just feel like that he was probably one of the more boring people that were there.
He was.
Well, I guess it's how you define boring. But I think Ramsey had great dark horse potential, and I think that given he was the kind of guy that was gonna get really cutthroat at the end, and we didn't get to see it.
Well, why do you say that though?
Because he was the guy going into the game, starting the game with like final twos with everybody, very much like Godfrey. He then learned his lesson. He laid low, and he was going to be a Lone Ranger after losing Maddie. And he was going to be the wild card piece that the two sides were going to use to battle against each other. And I really think he could have stirred things up.
But okay. He's bad television.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right, let's take a couple more questions. This is from Shannon, who says, who else thinks a more realistic fake fight would involve some combination of Nikki or Maddie with another house guest or even each other? You know, again, with giving the brothers the chance to have the fake fight, I do feel like that it's a little bit of this production trying to put the brothers over. I think that they would be very happy with a brothers winning the season. Do you feel like that's unfair, Brent, when they like give like random tasks? I feel like that Joel was the person who was getting them in the beginning of the season, but it seems like that the brothers get these kind of TV-friendly moments.
I mean, I think they'd already decided that if the brothers make it, you know, a good deal of the time, that they're going to eventually give them this task, especially after watching them all season, like, and how they interact with each other. It's sort of funny. Like, I don't have an older brother or a younger brother, so I've never interacted with somebody this way, but I've never seen anybody act like this. You know, you never get to see two brothers for this length of time. So I don't think it's unfair. I just think, again, Big Brother Canada is going to Big Brother Canada. This is what they're going to do. I think they like having the big brothers. I think they like having the brothers out in front. And, you know, what do you want from me? That's the truth. I mean, it's how it is, you know? I mean, I like the brothers, and I like the fact that they got a little bit of screen time. It was bad acting, but at least it was fun.
Oh, terrible.
I was going to say, I felt like this task hit a little close to home because, like, they've been fighting like this all season, like, not acting. And then, you know, like, they're laughing during it, and people are still, like, people still believed it because this is how they've been interacting all season. So even though the acting was terrible, it's like these guys have been at each other's throats. Like, maybe we do need to step in here. Like, so to me, it's not like – it's not great TV because, like, these guys are probably going to have legitimate issues to work out when they get back home. And, like, who's paying for the therapy, Big Brother Canada? You?
Yeah. All right. And then finally, Colin Stone, the great Colin Stone, your roommate from Podcast House.
Yes.
He wants to know, what are the odds Nikki pulls a full Topaz? by the way, Colin was co-hosting with our own Sarah Freeman this past week on the Dom and Colin podcast. The odds of Nikki pulling a full topaz. Now what is a full topaz? Now, is a full topaz voting for the wrong person at the final jury vote and then also doing something else? Is there a half topaz?
I think maybe a half topaz is,
and then hooking up with Alec showman, at the finale.
Getting into a showman yeah. with someone who secretly hates you.
Yeah, I don't know. All right. Any chance that you think Nikki could vote the wrong way? No, I because she's in the final too. I think there's no chance that she votes the wrong way.
I think even if she's in the jury, Mitch will be drilling into her very specifically. Make sure you don't get it wrong.
Yes.
Vote for the one you want to see win, Nikki.
Yes. Win. Joel will be sitting next to her at the final jury vote, and that is why in the final two, she will not be voting the wrong way. All right. Very fun show. I'm really glad we had this chance to catch up with all three of you guys here in one show. What's the hashtag, Taryn?
Oh, no. I told myself I was going to prepare too.
Yeah,
oh, did you, Alex? You have one?
I had one.
Oh, I was like, I mean, like, I cocky pawn, but like, that's the only thing I can think of. I wrote down something, but now I can't find it.
Alex, you want to go with your? What did you say about the broken toys?
Well, yeah, how would you hashtag that?
I don't know how you would hashtag that. What about WFC champion?
WFC champion.
I thought that was funny.
All right. For lack of anything better, and that does not include any words that we don't want to use on Twitter. Okay, let's go with that. WFC champion. All right. That's going to do it for us here today. We've got the Amazing Race. Quick turnaround tonight. I will get back into the Amazing Race with Jessica Lease. That's going to be at 9:15 p.m. Eastern time. And then Big Brother Canada train keeps on rolling along Sunday night. Jordan Parhar is going to be back with another live show. Who's on with Jordan on Sunday night?
Remains a mystery, I believe.
No, we don't know.
I don't think he has.
So what are you guys, will just one of you will just get the call from him over the weekend?
He's keeping the back third of the schedule very close to the vest, Rob. It is the high roller room recreated.
Some can't risk any leaks.
Yeah, one of you will just get the text on Sunday, you up?
Or
you'll
be
all
Taryn.
Get that text, and then whoever responds
be me.
First.
I've been on four straight shows, so it cannot be me. It's gotta be. Not that I don't love talking, but people are tired of hearing what I have to say. Like, it needs to be Taryn or Alex on Sunday Night Show.
Well, and Rob, I believe you know, we may have something going on with the Game of Thrones premiere, so I think that.
Oh yeah, so Alex is out of the mix.
Must be me.
Process of elimination.
Yeah, Alex is going to be with us. Working on Game of Thrones live on Sunday night with the premiere comes back. Very excited for that over on post show recaps. So look for that this weekend. And then Jordan Parhar on Sunday night as well. For those of you who could care less about the Game of Thrones and we'll be watching the Big Brother Canada coverage. Okay. Next Friday, when we get to week 9, following the double eviction, I will be live with Derek Levasseur 1 week from today. So excited about that. Plus we had some really fun Survivor podcasts as well. This past week, that yesterday, Shireen was here in the studio. I thought we had a really, really great podcast recapping a very exciting episode of Survivor this week. Taryn, you're not out on the Survivor season, are you?
Oh, no. This has been fantastic. Oh, my God. I can't say anything because I don't want to spoil Survivor, but yes. Like, oh, man.
Okay,
that's
good.
Probably a problem, too, is the contrast, right? It's like Survivor's so good, so the standard is high.
Yeah, okay. Well, that was really fun yesterday. And then also, we got into the voicemails with Scott Green, who Brent coached up before he went on The Price is Right, and then got down to Contestants Row this week and on the stage.
Yeah, and on stage, and well, I don't want to spoil anything. Well, I'll go ahead and spoil. He made it to the showcase. He did great. He was wonderful. It was wonderful. And I'm 3 for 3 in getting people on The Price is Right. So if you want to get on The Price is Right, come to me.
Right. So very, very good. So Brent is Coach's Twist for Price is Right. All right. So thanks so much. Thanks, Scott St. Pierre, who was behind the scenes pulling questions, answering random Canada questions that we had. And then stay tuned on the audio podcast for my conversation with Matt Eats. Have a good weekend. Take care, everybody. Bye. All right, if you're listening to this, you just listened to our week 8 recap with the live feed correspondents, and let's bring you our exit interview with Maddie, and she's on the line. Let's go ahead and patch her in. Maddie, are you there?
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Very good. Very good. All right. Maddie, looking back, you seem to have really, in my mind, started to read the game a lot better during your time in the house. How prepared do you feel like you were to play the game when you started the season?
No one can really come into the house prepared because no one has been through that unless you are a previous house guest. But I thought I did a good job and I adapted very well. I knew what I wanted to do going into the house and I did that exactly.
Now, at the start of the season, it really did feel like that your desire to get rid of Kelsey in the first week really did set the tone for the season. Do you feel like that was the case?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I just knew I wasn't going to be able to be friends with her or even work with her. So I was just like, if she's on the block and I'm friends with HOH, why not?
So then there was a big decision that the house had to make where it was either going to be Kelsey or LaVita that was going to come back into the house for a unanimous decision. Was it a mistake to have Kelsey be the person to come back rather than LaVita?
Yes, I think it was a huge mistake for Kelsey to come back, and I think we all realize this now.
Let's talk a little bit about Tim and his game. We saw some of the house meeting to try to campaign for you to stay, but it seemed like he did a good job of trying to shut down that situation.
Yeah, I mean, I had a feeling it was going to happen, and Tim was going to come in there and just deny everything, but at the end of the day, what he said was true, and I think people wanted me to stay. They just didn't want to stick their neck out, and I totally get it.
How surprised were you that it was the brothers that ultimately took you out of the game?
I mean, quite surprised because I wouldn't have taken them out for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I was going to beat them, so if I was in their position, I probably would have done the same thing.
Why are people so hesitant in the house to make a power move against Jared and Kelsey?
I think it's just because they were such a strong alliance. Like, they would never, ever go against each other, and that threatened people just because of previous seasons we've watched with showmances. So they just became a target right off the bat.
Now, you and Ramsey obviously became very close in the house. How did you juggle the idea of not wanting an ally to leave, but also do what's best for him?
I didn't juggle it very well, I'd say. I mean, it was pretty hard, and I was trying to be really happy for him and, you know, be supportive. But at the same time, I was quite heartbroken because I just lost my number one ally, my best friend, and my showmance all at the same time.
Yes.
And I was on the clock.
Yes.
So,
a lot to handle.
Yes.
In your mind, who do you think is in the best position to win the game now?
It's hard to say. I mean, I think Cassandra is in the best position currently right now in the game, from what I do know. But you never know in that house. Anything could happen.
Is there one person that you feel like is that nobody else is really worried about, but they should be?
People should be more worried about Joel and Cassandra than Jared and Kelsey, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so even you're saying, you know, don't worry about Jared and Kelsey.
Yeah, I was worried about them at first, obviously. I mean, they were coming after me, so I only did what was best for me and my alliance. But now that I have no alliance members left, you kind of have to look at the social aspect instead of the physical aspect.
All right, Maddie, this game was such a roller coaster ride for you. Would you ever consider playing Big Brother again?
Absolutely. I would love to do Big Brother again. I would do it, you know, with the same mindset and the same feelings and, you know, do exactly what I did in this house, just with a different group of people.
Okay. All right. Well, Maddie, thank you so much for coming on. It was a lot of fun to watch you this season. All the best, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Take care.